This is the As Far As I Know podcast.
Hello and welcome to the As Far As I Know podcast, the show where we try to outthink our feelings and satisfaction is not guaranteed. My name is Andy, and I am absolutely thrilled to be joined by my co-hosts. First, a longtime co-conspirator and general Buffy nut.
Is that fair? Yeah, that's fair.
This is my friend Fozzie Bear. Hey, Fozzie, how are you?
Hey, gentle listeners, how are you? It's good to be here. I'm glad we're doing this again.
Yeah, it's excellent. It's excellent. And also joining us, new to this whole podcasting scene, he's not a podcasting insider. He's not going to bring the normal podcasting sound bites. He's also the friendliest power gamer I know. Mr. Matt Rose. Hey, Matty.
Hello. I guess I'm the podcast virgin then? Is that what you're
I was trying to position you more like the podcast Trump.
Oh, yes. That sounds much better. Yeah. Why don't you tell me that?
I was thinking Bernie. All such outsiders.
Let's just date this podcast from the very beginning. Right? Hello from 2016, everybody.
The past. You wouldn't believe the caucuses we had.
They were huge.
Huge
caucuses.
So,
huge.
What we're going to do here on the As Far As I Know podcast is we're going to take some arguments that are normally emotional in nature, and we're going to try to apply some real criteria onto those arguments and see if we can come up with some data and basically see if we can force one of us to admit that we're wrong. Does that sound about right, fellas?
Yeah, and in addition to that, we're talking about our feelings, how we feel about these. So we're not just bringing in, we're bringing in our feelings, but we're also bringing in kind of nerd mentality. We're going to talk about those things that you've talked about your entire life with your best friends. Could this person beat this person? Is this movie better than this movie? Is All I Want for Christmas Is You the best song, Christmas song ever? Those kind of questions.
Do you want to?
Yes, and we're going to arm you with information so that you can go tell your friend why you're right finally, because we've proven you right. With our statistical analysis.
Right. Or we're going to be that little voice in the back of your head to make your argument even more hopeless, depending on where you land.
Right. Well, then you would encourage them not to listen to the podcast, but that doesn't help us sell it, so don't do that.
Exactly.
And at the end of these shows, we're going to have to, if we fall on one side or the other, if we find out that we are wrong, we're going to have to admit scientifically that we are wrong.
That's
which
right.
is going to be challenging. We talked about in the lead up to the show, if I ever have to admit that, say, my example was that Charmed is better than Buffy, I'm quitting the show.
Yeah, we'll lose him right then.
I don't think you'll ever find those statistics, but it's going to be really challenging to have to admit things that we feel passionately about are wrong.
Well, actually, if you look at the viewer ratio.
Oh, no, that's it. I'm off Skype.
So let's make an attempt to not lose one third of our co-hosts straight out of the gate, and instead, but I think we do jump in with something that's equally contentious. So let's start right out of the gate, get our feet wet, and gentlemen, we are going to fundamentally answer the question: which Star Wars movie is best?
Yes.
So I certainly have feelings about this. You certainly have feelings about this. If you're somehow listening to this podcast already on episode one, the chances are pretty high you have feelings about this. So let's take just a minute and talk about our feelings.
Let's talk about our feelings.
Oh, sorry. I thought there was going to be a thing there.
All right. So I thought we had a clip. all right. So Mr. Matt Rose, you're up to bat. What is the best Star Wars movie?
Well, this answer is obvious, and so I don't really think we'll have to really argue this too much. Because
obviously wrong.
I'm obviously right. And Ewoks or not, the best Star Wars movie is by far The Return of the Jedi. I have very fond memories of this movie. I will take you back to a time, a long long time ago, before
the
internet.
No.
Yeah, I know. I did that on purpose. When I was a young wee whippersnapper, and my lovely mother brought me to Return of the Jedi, and I remember the awe of seeing that film, and I remember it very vividly, and I remember specifically when Luke falls into the Rancor pit, and she is trying to cover my eyes with her hand. She's like, this is supposed to be a kid's movie. I was hoping there wouldn't be skeletons of parents like the first one, but now there's this rancor.
And that rancor kid is completely nude.
Yeah, and
he is nude. Yeah, that's a problem.
Right.
I will admit, I was so young, I didn't even realize that Princess Leia was a sex symbol, to be honest, at that point. Anyways, she's desperately trying to cover up my eyes, and I am desperately trying to see it and to see the spectacle that is Return of the Jedi, and it was amazing. The biggest thing that I love about Return of the Jedi is the last act. You have a three-pronged, action-packed scene happening where you have the awesome space battle outside the Death Star. You have
it's a trip. Luke,
thank you, Akbar. You have Luke Skywalker facing down Darth Vader and the Emperor, and then you have, of course, the shield generator fight down below with Han and Leia and so on. And the thing is that I was thinking about this is one of the coolest parts of that movie is, like, today I'm old and jaded and I know what's coming all the time, but I was thinking about this when I was a kid and Luke Skywalker goes into that chamber with the Emperor and Darth. I had no idea how he was going to get out of it.
Yeah.
Like, I had nothing in my head that was like, I was like, he is screwed. And I mean, granted, I mean, seeing it today would probably be different, but at that point, I was like, this is amazing. I never saw it coming.
But the Emperor, that's something different.
Yes.
That's a fish of a different color.
Yeah. All right. So, what about you, Fozzie? Where do you sit on the Star Wars spectrum?
Well, first of all, Matt, how important is Star Wars to you? I don't know if we actually have a metric to rate that, but if you can just use feeling words.
As far as geek culture goes, Star Wars would be very high, I would say.
Okay. So for me, Star Wars ranks a lot lower, I think. And you'll find this out as we go through the show. A lot of times I don't know if this is actually how I feel or if I'm just a contrarian asshole, because it's hard to tell the difference sometimes because the things that some things that I feel I should be into, I just haven't been able to get there. Star Wars being one, I enjoy it, but I feel like I like it a normal human amount. It doesn't weigh too much on my conscience. Kind of like how some people are really passionate about Disney. It makes me feel like I don't like Disney enough because, again, I like it like a normal human amount.
So Star Wars or Disney tattoos, none of that kind of stuff.
Well, no, and now they're opening Star Wars World, right? Oh, yeah, at Disney.
Yeah.
So I'm completely out of the loop. So, and also Harry Potter. I like Harry Potter, but I don't know which movie is which. I've seen them all, but I couldn't tell you specifics, and I'll never read those books. That is an example of I'm probably being a contrarian asshole. So
audience is all turned against you, so this is even better. So.
Already, I'm just kind of putting I'm setting it super low.
At Fozzie Bear BARE on Twitter, everybody. So that's where your vitriol goes.
But there's a lot of geeky things that I really do like, so we'll get to those in later shows. I'm sure we'll talk about them. But as far as Star Wars goes, I saw them when I was a kid, had Star Wars sheets, I had action figures, I was into it like every kid is. But then I kind of stopped thinking about it for about 20 years, and then I got to a point where I was like, oh yeah, the Star Wars movies. What was going on there? Why were people doing anything? Who was that guy? I didn't know the story. I knew a child's version of oh, it's very colorful and things were moving quickly and I enjoyed it. But as far as what was actually going on, I didn't understand the story. So I went back and watched them and I really liked them again. But that was 10, 15 years ago. I've seen the new one. I waited 2 weeks for it to come out. I wanted all the geeks to have it and I didn't want to have to face a crowd because I didn't care a whole lot.
Yeah.
So that's where I am with Star Wars in general. But
the other side of that, I went opening night. So that gives you
there
you
go. There.
The barometer.
So as far as my favorite movie, and we've talked about how we're going to disagree a lot on this show, and we're going to have to prepare for that. But this is one of the times that we actually don't, because, Matt, I agree with you that Return of the Jedi is the best Star Wars movie.
Fozzie knows exactly what he's talking about. He is not
clear. What is happening?
Individual.
Oh, this is a terrible way to start.
Yes, I won. I'm in the good graces. So a lot of people think that Empire Strikes Back. A lot of people will say Empire Strikes Back is the best movie, but I find that one really super boring. They spend half of it in a swamp talking to a toad monster of some kind. No, I'm just kidding. I know who that is. No, talking to Yoda. I just find those the learning of the Jedi skills really boring. Doesn't seem like much is going on. There's another part where they're stuck in a what they think is a cave, but it turns out to be a monster's mouth or a monster hole. Sorry, true. I just think the second movie spins its wheels a lot, whereas the third movie moves things ahead consistently, like pacing wise and story wise. And like Matt said, it has that three part arc at the end with the things happening to every character. And one of the main things I want out of any movie, and maybe this is just an age thing, but I want a happy ending. And that movie gives one of the happiest endings. Most evil man in the universe turns into Casper the Friendly Ghost, and they're all dancing around a fire and getting awards, and there's music, and it's so happy and joyful.
Yub yub.
Exactly. That's what I want out of a movie. So I get such a high every time I see that movie. So it's going at my number one slot. So I think that's going to end up being the number one.
Well, you guys can be this wrong every time if you want.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's totally cool. I'm actually going to take, I think, a little bit of a surprise position here because while I think those are totally good arguments and I get where you're coming from, I'm going to go out on a limb here and I'm going to call episode 7.
Phantom Menace. Oh no.
Episode 7, The Force Awakens, I think I'm going to call the best one. And here's why. I think that there is something to be said for the introduction of this franchise, right? Like, I think that the novelty that was this whole space opera and kind of mainstreaming, I know it was a big surprise to everyone at the time, but like the mainstreaming of this kind of pulpy, you know, Flash Gordon-y kind of stuff into this bigger movie, you know, I don't think you can ever really underestimate its impact and how well it did. However, for episode 7 to be as well received as it was, both critically and like it's already wrecked every box office record and all that kind of stuff, right?
Toe it up.
I think that for it to do that on the back of the really dark times for Star Wars, which were, you know, not only the prequels, but even the years leading up to kind of the re-release of the special editions and Lucas's tinkering with things we liked and then him telling us that we were dumb to like it the old way. And like, there was a lot of baggage coming into that movie. And I just feel like, you know, it's to have done as well as it did. I think it's, you know, it's really hard to shake the idea that it's not the best one.
Interesting. Now, can we separate, I know this is a portion where we talk about our feelings, but can you separate the, I assume you took your sons to this, right? You saw it in the theater with your kids, Andy?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Do you have strong memories of being a kid and seeing the other one in theaters? Or are we talking nostalgia? Are you talking about the fresh emotions? Is there any emotion behind this choice for you? Or
yeah,
you just
probably.
Saying?
I mean, I am not old enough that I saw Empire Strikes Back in the theater, but I was really into Return of the Jedi when it came out. I remember I had these little records that I think you got in Happy Meals or something. They were like these really flimsy little records, and like they would tell part of the story, and I had a picture book and stuff. So like the idea that I would go into a movie back then without knowing anything about it and that would somehow be fun, that was
right?
Like really foreign to 6-year-old Andy, right? Like there was no way that was happening. And like I loved the toys and like I was pretty deep into it when I was a kid.
I got an Ewok eraser stuck up my nose in third grade.
Yeah, of course you did.
And Mrs. Taylor had to send me to the office, and then my mom had to pick me up, and we went to the doctor, and they had to use this claw thing to extract it.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
Yeah.
No, there were a couple
Ewok
of times.
Which Ewok was it? Can you tell us that?
Oh
no, I have no idea. Do they have names?
It was almost certainly Wicket, yes, right? Almost
they certainly do. It had to be Wicket.
Almost certainly. Or the stripy one. What's the stripy one called?
Stripe.
The one that.
No, that was a gremlin.
Oh, I don't know.
What was the one that died? What was their name?
I don't know.
See, we're not very good nerds. You know what? Anyway. We probably shouldn't do this show. Sorry to waste your time, everybody.
All right, good night, everyone. No, I mean, I think you're right. I think there is some emotion. I mean, there was a couple of times throughout the film that Matt and I have seen it together a couple of times, and I made the admission, like, there are a couple of moments through that movie where I feel 7 years old. Like, there
but
are some things that...
that
happen that, like, really harken back. But
I think you can we're just going to say there's spoilers in this, so just say what you want exactly to say.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we're going to spoil the movie for sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, like the – so I think my two favorite sequences of any Star Wars at all are – the scene where they escape Jakku in the Millennium Falcon. So we see the Falcon fly again for the first time in forever and all that stuff. And they have the really cool scene where they go through the trashed Star Destroyer and they do the little Maverick flip around move and all that stuff. I love everything about that scene. I think that's like probably my favorite 5 minutes of Star Wars at all. And then I cannot help but get like, I have like legitimate feelings when towards the end of the film, the Millennium Falcon comes up over a rise to rescue our heroes, and there's a shot of the cockpit, and it's Chewbacca by himself in the cockpit because Han Solo was killed just a few minutes earlier. And they didn't give you a ton of time to dwell on the death of Han Solo, and then you have this like really stark picture where he totally should be. And the thing is that it's not like that's the first time we've seen, like, Lando flies the Millennium Falcon in the second and third movies. Like, you know, like it's happened before, but I just that's like too much for 7-year-old Andy. You just can't handle it, you know.
Well, it's the greatest bromance of all time. Yeah, it's right? Heartbreaking. Yeah. I agree with you.
Andy was crying. I don't know why he's like tearing up. He was like crying. I was like, Andy, are you okay?
And no, fine, no, fine. No.
He's like.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think this is the emotional section, right? But I do think that, like, as a legitimate argument for this film to take the franchise from where it had gone, right? Okay. Jar Jar and fart jokes to this new thing. When you think about, like, the introduction of there's just so many things that sort of punch directly at the problems with where Lucas was trying to take the franchise. And even though I know it gets criticism for being derivative and all that kind of stuff, which I totally understand, and there are some things that they handle kind of clumsily, like I don't like the way that C-3PO is handled in the movie and stuff like that, I still think that its ability to sort of like resurrect Star Wars from the ashes that it was in, it deserves credit. And to me, I think if I had to sit down right now and watch one of the movies, it'd be that one.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we all have opinions about this. How do we make a determination?
Well,
where do we go
from here?
Well,
first, I mean, like, every nerd that's listening to this is just yelling at us right now, and that is in part because in the early 90s, there was a theory more popular than this, popularized the theory that if you're a proper geek, you like Empire Strikes Back the best. And I think that theory is credited mostly to Kevin Smith because of a scene in Clerks. So we're gonna just let's go to the guys in the Stop and Go. Is that what it was called? Stop and Go?
Quickie Mart? No, I don't know.
I don't know. Okay, so we're gonna go to those guys and let them argue.
What did you like better, Jedi or The Empire Strikes Back?
Empire.
Blasphemy.
Empire had the better ending. I mean, Luke gets his hand cut off, finds out Vader's his father, hand gets frozen and taken away by Boba Fett. It ends on such a down note. I mean, that's what life is, a series of down endings. All Jedi had was a bunch of Muppets.
So one thing that's interesting, I think, about that argument is that at the very beginning, you hear him asked, which is better, Empire or Jedi? And when the answer is Empire, the response is blasphemy. Right, so that was a reasonable opinion in 1991 that Return of the Jedi is best, but now I think you guys are pretty much in the minority. So given
it's not cool, it's not cool to like Return of the Jedi.
It's not. You're supposed to hate the Ewoks, right?
Yep. They're adorable, though. Yeah. It's adorable to be adorable.
No, Muppet movies are great. I'm with you guys. Yeah. I love Muppet movies.
But I mean, that's Muppets.
This is Muppets Take Tatooine or Endor, whichever one.
Jim Henson Strike You Down.
Let's take them both. I love some Jim Henson. I mean, like, it's great. I Kermit could have been in that movie, though, you know. Okay, so now that our feelings are out of the way, how are we going to figure out which of these movies is best? What criteria are we going to use?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I hadn't thought of that.
So I think
if you go by straight dollars, yeah. Right now.
Well, so yeah, exactly. I win. I'm out. Mic drop. That was a pencil drop. That sounded terrible.
Sometimes, I mean, from the very beginning, I think we kind of need to, it's not going to be the same thing ever, but when we say best, we're kind of talking about best a lot on this show. What is the best? And we don't really mean best critically, best financially.
Yes, like what all do of we? That, right.
Yeah,
I think that's the idea, is that we're going to try to take as many
data points
as we can and merge them together to come up with some definition of best. And that's why satisfaction isn't guaranteed. It's never going to be an all-encompassing definition. I can't possibly capture in a spreadsheet like, you know, your childhood. It's not going to happen.
Right?
But I can.
There is a copy and paste feature. You just take a picture of an Ewok.
Yeah.
Throw it in Excel.
Just paste it in there. Yeah.
There you go.
So but what would we talk about? How do we determine best?
Well, I think
here?
One thing that you brought up, I mean, I think you just brought up two things that are important to look at, right? One is critical acclaim, right?
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully now there's a whole bunch of people out there aggregating critical scores. So we can definitely look at like aggregated critical scores and come up with critical acclaim. So that's
right.
I do think the dollars, I mean, it does have to be in the equation somewhere.
Right. I mean, box office is an important thing. But I'd make a point that especially when we're going from 1977 to 2015, we have to adjust for inflation, right?
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
No fair giving Empire Strikes Back, you know, Reagan dollars and no, that wouldn't be Reagan, would it? Yes, maybe. And Return of the Jedi is definitely Reagan dollars. No fair giving Return of the Jedi Reagan dollars. But then, you know, sticking to Force Awakens with Obama's America.
Right. Thanks, Obama. Never gets old. But we don't want to – I don't think we want to simply focus every time on, like, mass populi opinions because whatever is the most popular might not necessarily be the best. So I think one thing that came to mind when I was thinking about this is what are these movies – what do we go to these movies for is, like, action. We want good action scenes. In an action movie. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe evaluating the like scenes, how long the action scenes are, like how people respond to the action scenes or how many action scenes per movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or what percentage of the movie is a qualified action scene.
That's exactly what I was trying to say, but couldn't use the words. Thank you, Matt.
There you go.
You're welcome.
My mouth words. No
I like
good.
That.
No.
But I think that's an important thing to do. I think we can also look at like at everyday average people scores, right? Like there's a lot of that around now too. So we can, while that's more of an abstract to what you're talking about, Fozzie, and I like what you're talking about, I think we can also go to like when people just sum up their feelings for the movie, what do they say? Right.
Okay.
And maybe in some ways we are capturing people's childhood and stuff there, but I think that's valid, right?
Yeah.
And I would also say that like, you know, using the scores from movie critics, I think we'll often sort of counterbalance the most popular bits of the box office, right? Because those don't always line up. Like what critics like and what people like are not always the same thing.
Very rarely. You're right. Yeah. Any other metrics we can think of?
What else? I mean, I think there's things we could look at like toy sales maybe and web searches perhaps. But
or popularity of like, how much does Luke Skywalker get? I guess that won't work. What movie gets looked up the most? Like
the
wiki page or something?
Yeah, the difficulty of that, I think, will just be separating one from another, right? Like, I mean, we
because you just Google Star Wars.
Right, you know, and then you find the one you're after. Or, you know, in some ways, like I was talking about earlier, like you have to give credit to the pioneering first film, right? So in some ways, is that always going to be kind of unfairly undercutting the first film, since without it, like, none of that stuff would have existed, right? And even though, say, like, I mean, Yoda is, like, the only major character. Well, Yoda and Lando, I guess, we see the two of them in the second and third movies, but...
Ugh, besides, for a long time.
Besides them, they're not, you know, everybody else is in everything, right?
Right. Well, here's something. What about catchphrases? Like, I think each movie, and let's face it, I think we've been fairly obvious about it. We're only talking about four movies here, right? We're
well,
not talking about seven movies.
I don't know that anybody is out there.
And
just
that's pod racing.
Yeah, I'm not
Lisa,
sure.
No.
I'm sure anybody is out there arguing that, you know, well, I can't believe they're just ignoring all that sand talk and Attack of the Clones.
Right. So we're talking about four movies, and I think each of them have like a definitive catchphrase or something that became super popular, like, it's a trap, from Jedi.
Well, the problem is that one of the things that Star Wars, like one of the kind of beats that Star Wars always hit, or one of the characteristics of it, is that they reuse phrases on purpose, right? So I've got a bad feeling about this, and may the Force be with you, and how rude, and you know, all of that stuff comes up over and over. I mean, we could look and see where, you know, there are definitely some that you pull out from, like I think of I Love You, I Know,
right,
from Empire, right? Even this most recent one, like I love That's Not How the Force Works, you know, I think is something that people have been repeating a lot. But I'm not sure how, again, it's going to be super difficult in these cases to separate some of this zeitgeist stuff from movie to movie, you know?
Right.
I'll look and see what we can find.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to.
Do your magic.
Yeah. I don't have like Jedi ability to hold my breath, or maybe not, depending on how you.
Okay.
That's a deep cut. Sorry.
Because Andy and I have had this conversation. Have you watched it yet, Andy?
Watched
Do you know what?
You're talking about the Jar Jar is a Sith Lord thing? No.
Come on, I'm a believer now.
No self-respect in Southerner uses instant grits.
You have to watch this. Matt, have you seen the video?
I don't know what's happened.
A video that of a fan-made video explaining why Jar Jar is actually a Sith Lord, the most powerful Sith Lord. You know, that's the rumor that George Lucas had intended that for these movies, but then Jar Jar came out and was super unpopular, so he had to change the entire story.
So
this fan showed all the evidence that proved that that was where he was going, and that's what's leading up to. Watching this video, I totally believe it, you guys.
No.
So I'm changing my answer. It's episode one is the best. No, I'm just kidding, but I want people to watch this video. See?
Oh my god.
This is how you felt until you actually watched Happy Endings, and you're like, oh, okay, I get it now.
No. Yeah, that is not correct.
You were like, oh man, I have to watch another stupid show. Then you actually liked it. So just watch
it. Okay, how are we going to prove which one's the best again?
Sorry.
So we're going to look at critical scores. We're going to look at box office. We're going to look at user scores. We're going to look at action sequences. And then we're going to try to see if we can find toy sales or web searches or catchphrases or something that kind of indicates cultural impact from one movie to another.
Perfect. I think that's enough.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
So just to a little format note here, you, the user, are not going to have to wait for us to do this. We're going to break and come back to you what is going to seem like moments later. But for us, will be time enough for us to scour the interwebs, do a bunch of math, and come back with the answers to these. So we're going to go work furiously, and we'll be back. Right now.
Oh, whoa. My god, I'm gonna do that.
Whoa.
It's the first time you've ever done it, but I love it. Yeah, I want you to do it every week.
Okay, I'm gonna make a note.
Perfect.
Okay, got it. Well, welcome back, fellas.
Hey, it's good to be back. So missed you.
So here we are talking about Star Wars.
That was like PFM and stuff.
I don't know what that means.
It's a ska punk band.
Magic.
Oh.
What? Oh, pure bleeping magic. Okay, so, before the break, we don't need to recap. That was just moments ago for you guys, but we're talking about Star Wars and which Star Wars movie is best. Quickly, Matt, recap your position.
Return of the Jedi on
Wrong.
The scoreboard.
Fozzie,
survey
recap
says number one.
Your position.
Return of the Jedi on the scoreboard. A-OK number one. Whatever he said. I forgot.
Wrong. I am taking the position
Richard Dawson
that...
just kissed me on the lips.
Well, then I'm going to Return of the Jedi. I am taking The Force Awakens. I think that on the strength of all the dollars spent and because it rescued the franchise, it's the best one. Kevin Smith,
and
of course,
you cried.
And
you
I
can't
cried.
Forget.
Yeah.
You cried. Tell
also
me.
Also crying. Yep.
Cry, baby.
Kevin Smith and just about every other self-respecting nerd says Empire Strikes Back is unequivocally the best movie. nobody argues for the prequels. So we're going to look at critical scores, box office numbers, user scores, action sequences, toy sales, web searches, maybe catchphrases to try to come up with which one of these things is the best. So, boys, I did some research, and I just want to – let's talk about the zeitgeist a bit at first. So trying to separate these movies, as predicted, pretty tough.
Yeah.
So let me just read from you something that is fascinating to me. This is Frank DeCaro's thing from Christmas Eve 2008. In an article for New York Times called "A Space Garbage Man and His Eclectic Crew," and he's talking about like just basically how the Star Wars stuff. I mean, the pop culture is just lousy with Star Wars stuff, right?
Right.
So he talks a little bit about the holiday special, and then he says, "And there was a much shorter but none less cracked 1977 takeoff from Donnie and Marie. Are you ready for this? This one featured those two musical siblings dressed as Luke and Leia, Kris Kristofferson doing his best Han Solo, Red Fox in full Sanford and Son mode playing Obi-Wan Kenobi, and an embittered Paul Lynde singing the Broadway hit Come Back to Me to a Rocket Ship." So, I have never seen this, but I can't imagine how I've missed this.
You made
this.
That up.
I did not make this up. I did not.
I have literally never been happier in my life than I am right now.
Apparently some of this is on YouTube, so we'll throw it up on the site for people to look at. But I think this is an illustration of how the cultural embrace of Star Wars went just about as far as it could possibly go.
Right.
Even in 1977. So to try to measure cultural impact after that based on the impact of other movies, even though, like we talked about, there's some great catchphrases, I think Lucas was able to kind of continually double down with the way they released toys and merchandise and all that kind of stuff. There's actually an interesting piece I wrote on asfarasinow.net about merchandise and how much the gap between Star Wars and anything else is. So you can go there and look at that. But yeah, I think we're gonna have to drop the zeitgeist argument and just look at some more straight up stuff.
I'm okay with that because even in my mind, I can't keep the movie straight a lot of times. I don't know which is which. I still get Empire and Jedi kind of confused in my head a lot of times. So I'm actually fine with that decision.
So I also had a big sort of wrench in my side when it came to measuring action sequences.
Oh, dude.
Matt, you want to take a guess at what that wrench might be?
You didn't want to watch all the movies and time them out?
No, it's the 9-ish something minutes of pod racing and relative stuff like that in the prequels, especially that they're fine. They're good. They're fun to watch, but they don't really add to the movie very much. And it's tough. It was also kind of tough to parse out, like, Matt, you mentioned the third act of Return of the Jedi and how it's, you know, like in those really cool progressive pieces, but going back and watching it, like that was a great way to disguise that there are some pretty slow moments there. Like the actual amount of time that Luke and Vader spend sword fighting instead of just kind of pacing around and hiding from
saber
each other
fighting.
To each other.
Yeah. Excuse me. We don't say sword.
Come
fighting.
On.
Sorry.
George
Lucas calls them laser swords. So if it's good enough for George Lucas, it's good enough for me. Nobody's ever said that out loud.
No, he can suck a waddle neck. I don't.
He doesn't
think that's
own
right.
Star Wars anymore.
Yeah,
but yeah. So there's some. You know, it was trying to parse out like, okay, what actually counts as action versus, you know, is this because this is all part of the same action sequence? Does it count for blah blah blah? Got too messy.
So just to clarify, both of my suggestions were completely shot down.
Not completely.
Oh, that's
shot
fine.
Down.
No. That's fine. Okay. I don't even care at this point.
He let them take off first, and then he shot them down.
You know, so I'm just saying they're not high flyers. That's all.
Andy
I'm
shot first. I think yeah, we've established.
We right. So what we're left with then is some pretty straightforward stuff. We're looking at critical and user scores and box office numbers, right? So. Some interesting stuff in here. So one thing is that the top 20 box office all time when you adjust for inflation includes 5 films from the Star Wars franchise. So that's that's pretty wow. intense when you kind of look at its impact across like all of film history, right? But if you just looked at box office and you adjust for inflation, Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope is kind of the runaway winner there, which is not necessarily surprising, you know, given sort of what we talked about, where it was the first thing that was new and it kind of, you know, it kind of dropped on people unawares and it just everybody wanted to see this new thing, you know?
Okay. Yep. And I guess that was that was a time, too, when people would see movies multiple times in the theater, when there was a long gap after a movie was gone from the theater.
Yeah.
They're like, well, I'll never see this again.
Yeah, but I think that was also a time where people would pay, like, a nickel for a movie and then watch it 4 times before they left, right?
So. Yeah, that's when the Kaiser had control.
Maddie, what were you saying?
No, I mean, it makes sense. It's a new thing, and like you were saying, Fozzie, is that the video release took like 8 years after a movie came out. So if you wanted to see a movie, you better go to see it at the movie theater. And then, of course, the movie theater kept it for a year, too. So
well,
you started
I literally,
forgetting things after 4 months, you could go back.
I literally don't know anything before 1994. So what did people do about movies? Did you just wait till they showed it on TV maybe once?
Yeah, like, so a lot of like you'll hear a lot of people talk about their first introduction to Star Wars being because it was just played a lot on like HBO. And so like
go ahead. Well, it came out in 77 though, right? Like yep. HBO didn't even exist till what, 81?
Right, 80, but it 81? Was one of those ones that like jumped into rotation when they launched, right? So
so for those 3 years, though, there was just no way to see a movie.
Well, I vaguely remember it coming back to the movie theater. And
yeah, there were some re-releases, and like, you know, back then you had a longer sort of second run, you know, like you had drive-ins that kept movies alive for a long time and that kind of thing. But, I mean, yeah, mostly it was once a movie was gone, a movie was gone, you know, until home video became a thing, right?
Because that I find that metric a little dubious just because of the time. I don't want to throw a monkey wrench in what you already
have.
No,
that's okay. Go ahead.
Which I think is great. But I think that plays into it a lot because people were like, well, I'll never be able to see this movie ever again. But now when a movie comes out, there are movies that I legitimately want to see. And I'm like, oh, I'll see it in 3 weeks when I download it off of Pirate Bay. No,
you don't
do
that. I think you're right in some ways. But I'm not sure that applies to Star Wars, really, because if there's any films that I've ever thought – I want to see that in the theater, right?
Right.
Like, even, like, you know, at Matt's house, his basement is basically a movie theater. There's a freaking giant screen, and when we watch, like, hockey and stuff, the people are bigger than me on it. But it's still, like, not the same as, like, going to the theater and getting that whole experience.
Does he ever cut a hole in the bottom of the popcorn? Well, I don't want to go into your basement.
It's not a bicycle shop.
Oh, we're deep cutting all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, I was just thinking about this, and it's a little late now, but we probably could have tried to look at how many videos of each movie were sold, or DVDs or whatever.
Yeah, the issue becomes you can't really judge Force Awakens on that because there hasn't been any yet. So.
Right. And nobody buys movies anymore. They just stream it later.
They stream them, right.
And I assume there has to be at least – there's probably a few people, but I assume there's not many people who are just like, okay, I got my Return of the Jedi, and this is the only movie I'll ever buy, and I'm leaving.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you for
I
your
just
business.
Like Return of the Jedi. The other ones are terrible. I just
right?
like Return of the Jedi.
I don't know where he's coming from, but I'm glad he's back.
Yeah. So one guy in the world.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, box office isn't the only thing we looked at, right? So I took a bunch of scores from – so basically we've got aggregates of aggregates, which is not normally a sound practice, but in this case I think it works pretty well to try to kind of normalize what's going on. So you guys want to take a crack at, on average, what's the – with both users and critics, if you average all of those scores together, what has the lowest rating?
Are we negating
– No, go all seven first. Go all seven first.
I will go – Two.
Episode two. I'm thinking episode one. There's so much hate and vitriol for that.
It's episode one, but it's really close. On our average score, which you can think of like a Metacritic or Rotten Tomatoes score, episode one has 56.5. Mm-hmm. Episode 2 has 59 and a half.
Oh, okay.
So episode 2 barely squeaks out.
You would have thought what, Matt?
2 was terrible. Like,
yeah.
Actually, 2 was 10 points higher on the Rotten Tomatoes critics scale than 1 was.
Wow, that
interesting.
Yeah,
does my mind a little bit.
I think a lot of that has to deal with lowered expectations too. Like the expectations were so high for the first movie,
yeah,
and it was a letdown. The second one, people were like, "Well, it's going to be crap, but let's go and watch some crap."
Maybe
like
so.
You knew, yeah.
Maybe so. All right, so for average ratings among the ones we talked about, boys. So let's take the original trilogy plus Force Awakens. What do you think's at the top?
I would guess that New Hope is actually at the top. I mean, as far as the statistic goes.
I think this is a very popular opinion website. It is critics and it is regular people, but they're still all just people. So I think that this is going to land where we kind of expect it to with Return of the Jedi or Empire Strikes Back coming in at number one.
It is a New Hope.
Interesting.
It's a New Hope on the strength of basically Metacritic. Their algorithm really hates on Empire Strikes Back. So Empire Strikes Back is rated lower than The Force Awakens on that. So A New Hope in Metacritic has a 92. Force Awakens has an 81. Empire Strikes Back 79 on the Metacritic scale.
But that doesn't make sense to me because I think critically Empire Strikes Back wasn't necessarily always considered that. I think the nerd population. Yeah,
if you look at the user votes there, you've got an 87 for A New Hope, 89 for Empire Strikes Back, and Force Awakens, surprisingly, 69.
Oh, interesting. And sexy. Scores.
Wow, yeah. That is quite...
So Force Awakens takes a hit on the Metacritic side there on the users, but the Empire Strikes Back kind of takes a hit on the critic side. New Hope basically stays above the fray. Its lowest score is with Metacritic's users, and that's an 87. It has an average score of 92.3. So you kind of see where this is going now. So what I've done is I've put together an As Far As I Know score. So as far as I know, this is the best way I can kind of sort these movies out. So this takes into account the average across users, the average across critics, and the relative position of the rank in the box office for the year that this came out, which I feel like is a little bit of a better way to do adjusting for inflation. Now, that doesn't matter as much for Star Wars movies. Interesting note, the only film in the Star Wars franchise that did not have the top space at the box office the year it came out was?
Episode 2?
I'm
going with 2.
It was, in fact, Episode 2 in 2002. Yes! Can either of you guys pull out what... It was 3rd in the box office that year.
Wow.
Do you have any idea what might have beaten it?
2002.
God, I'm trying to remember.
Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers was number 2 that year.
Oh, okay. Hey, I got one.
Well done. Charlie's Angels came out in 98.
Can I Google it quick and act smart?
No, you can't Google it.
I have no idea. I can't remember back to 2002.
It was Sam Raimi's Spider-Man.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So Spider-Man was number 1 in the box office. Then you had Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, Star Wars Episode 2, another franchise movie, and Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
Ooh.
And just as a way to really capture, like, you know, what life was like back then, are you ready for the next 4?
Yeah, please.
Let's hear it.
My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh, God, boy. I forgot. It's so weird. That is like, you guys have seen Dogma, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
That's like that Salma Hayek. She's like just, I'm convinced that her character just made us think that movie was good because nobody talks about it.
Following behind it was Signs.
Oh, I love that movie.
Then number 7 for all of the gross in 2002, Austin Powers in Goldmember.
Oh, boy.
And then followed by Men in Black 2. So it was a dark time for the Rebellion in 2002.
Yeah. I mean, but the top five, that's a lot of money. Those are big movies.
It was a lot of money. Yeah, it was a lot of money. So
crazy. We were rich back in 2002.
There's some good movies in the top of that list.
So I'm going to give you among the seven films, I'm going to give you the list in reverse order, okay?
All right.
Number seven, with an As Far As I Know score of 44.54, is Attack of the Clones. Coming in next, 56.5, The Phantom Menace.
Obviously.
Yep. Then you have Revenge of the Sith with 71.25.
Interesting.
I'm proud of us that we haven't said Hayden Christensen yet. Oh, damn it.
Oh man. You did it. Now his Force Ghost is going to come and whine. Right.
Now I have to put a nail through my eye.
Coming in 6 points, just 6 points above Revenge of the Sith at 77.25, is, gentlemen, Return of the Jedi.
Whoa.
And we'll get to that in just a minute. There's an interesting bit there. Above that, with a big jump of just under 6 points, you've got The Force Awakens at 83.
Ooh, interesting.
Second place with 89.75 points is The Empire Strikes Back.
And then in
first place with 92.25 points is A New Hope. So let's go back to Jedi for a second, which both of you guys said you thought was big. So I did a measurement to see where the gap was, and this is something we'll talk more about in our Oscar episode, I think, but I did a measurement to see where the gap was between critics and their praise of the film versus users and their praise of the film, okay? The higher this score, the more separate critics were in their praise. So the more critics liked movies over regular people, okay?
Okay.
Okay. The score, the critical hype score for Return of the Jedi is -22.5, which is enormous. The biggest variance besides that is a 7. Users tend to like Force Awakens a little bit more than critics by a measure of 7, whereas users like Return of the Jedi more than critics by a measure of 22.5. Particularly, again, on Metacritic, 52 is the score for Return of the Jedi from critics.
I don't know if we told you, listeners, but there's going to be a lot of math.
Yeah.
You down for that?
That's to me, is crazy. 22.5 points behind the users are the critics for Return of the Jedi. So my joke about Muppet movies and stuff apparently was a very popular opinion among those who like to consider themselves in the know.
Yeah, and like I said, you still have to think these critics are still people, so they have to be influenced by what the populace says.
Yeah.
If we're supposed to hate Ewoks, they're going to go in hating Ewoks.
Right, and that's, I think that's a spot on, is that they're looking for a higher art form probably at that point, whereas most of the users, like Nemo myself, I'm like, yeah, effing Ewoks, awesome.
You know? Right, you don't meet many 7-year-old film critics, but you do meet 7-year-old like fans of Muppets.
Yeah.
And they go to movies.
I think that's true. I think that's it. So, gentlemen, I mean, we have to say it. We have to say that as far as we know,
Episode 4,
A New Hope, is the best Star Wars movie.
Guess that wasn't that hard.
Well, it wasn't that hard for me.
No.
I need to hear Matt. Like, he's got to go tell his mom.
You know, he's gonna break his mother's heart.
Star Wars: A New Hope is the best Star Wars movie.
All right.
My mom is crying somewhere.
And on the tears of Mrs. Rose, we close out our first podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope you'll come back. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at @ironicallyandy.
I am on Twitter at FozzieBear, FozzieBare.
And I am at Matt, AFAIK.
You can follow us, you can follow the show and the site in general on Twitter. We are at As Far As I Twote.
I'm so happy about that name. I love it.
And you can also find us on Facebook. And then, of course, just visit asfarasiknow.net. There's a lot more stuff there, super geeky articles where we dive far too deep into otherwise useless information. So if you want to get a hold of the show, you can email us at mattsmomstears@asfarasiknow.net.
And I'm fairly certain that everyone who listens to the show who's a big Star Wars fan is pretty much going to be in consensus with every single thing that we've said.
Oh, yeah,
so
totally.
No reason to write in.
No reason to
visit the Facebook page.
Absolutely
no reason
not.
To tweet us.
Absolutely.
So as long as you agree with everything that we've said, you don't have to say anything. But if you would disagree at all, let us know.
All right, gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next time on the As Far As I Know podcast.
Bye. See ya.
Music for our show was provided by Freesound users Herbert Boland, Gullius25, and Luffy. Please rate or review our show wherever you found it. That is the nicest thing you can do, and we appreciate the support.